This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Guts Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutschurch.com.
You know, when I think about our lives and I think about what works, there's so many things that I really don't have the expertise in that I want to take care of. I remember Billy's over here and he's an electrician and I changed a dimmer switch on the breakfast table area of my house, and it was a huge victory. And I told him about it, and like a week later he came over to my house. He just wanted to check the work, okay? Because it's like, I'm not sure there's people I care about in that house, and we don't need to leave that up to chance. But do you understand that God's word is the formula for our lives? It's a recipe for great life. And that's what I want to talk to you guys tonight about, is that recipe and that formula in it. And the area of your life that you're thinking that you're deficient in, or that you're impatient in, or that you're frustrated in, or that you feel like you're malnourished in, or whatever those things might be, that God's word suffices. God's word is more than enough. And if you think about that Jesus in John 10:10, he said, "The thief comes but to kill, steal, and destroy." He said, "I've come that you might have life, and life more abundant," okay? And that more abundant life is a supernatural life. It's a bigger, better, greater, more incredible life than you could ever imagine. I've got a manuscript for a book that I wrote, and it's just entitled "You Can't Imagine," and it's "Eye hasn't seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered in the heart of man the great things that God has for those who love him, for those who walk uprightly, for those who simply put God first." And that's what Matthew 6:33 says. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, the Father knows you have need of all the things that the Gentiles need. Don't go get it like they're going to get it, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And you know what Jesus said? All these things will be added unto you. He didn't say you'll learn to live without them. He'll say all these things will be added unto you. So here we have, now listen, I want you to write this down, just two quick points. Abundant life, and all these things will be added unto me. So when I look at this, when it becomes super apparent to me, and I look at this in my own life, I think about it. And I go back to the beginning. You guys bring your Bibles? Turn your Bibles to Genesis, okay? And let's look at that. The Genesis is simply, God says, "Let there be light," and there was. And that was the first day. And then the fourth day, he made the sun and the moon and the stars, and he put it in the sky. It's like, wait a second, where did that light come from on the first day? It came from his word. It came from his speaking, okay? So that's what happens in our life. God, I just thank you. It's light and life to us tonight in Jesus' name. And everybody said? Now listen, here's what we've got to do. You've got to let the dark areas of your life be illuminated today. Man, the things that you're thinking, oh my gosh, there's no way this is not gonna work. Man, it could be a diagnosis of illness or disease that you've gotten. And it's like, oh my gosh, this could be, doc, how long do I have? Please, please, I'm begging you as my friends, don't ask doctors that. Let them diagnose you. That's great. They're scientists. I appreciate that. Let God's word prognose you. Okay, please, and it's not a play on words. Man, I'm just telling you that you can't imagine what God has for you. That's how immense it is. Remember, what's the first point I asked you to write down? What is it? Tell me. Abundant life. This isn't just normal life. This is more life than you have need of. Man, God has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Jesus becoming a curse for us. For everyone who hangs on the tree is accursed. Jesus hung on the tree for us. Jesus was crucified for us. And the curse of the law is poverty, sickness, and death. Premature death, okay? So I'm just telling you, don't try to do the math from your experiences. Don't think about Aunt Mabel. Don't think about other people. Don't think about what's happened to people. I'm telling you, man, let the light come today. Man, let God's word be our indicator. Let that be the plumb line to our life. Everything's level when God's promise comes into play, not when our situation. There's too many people that are believing God for a good report. They'll get a bad report from the doctor and they'll come in for prayer and I'm like, okay, what do you believe in God for? They'll say, I'm believing God that the next report's gonna be clear. Okay, I guess I could pray that, but why don't you just stand on the word? Even if that report is, even if the report that comes from the doctor contradicts what God's word is, the Bible says this, I've set before you life and death, choose life. Whose report are you gonna believe? And you know what our response is? Well, and you're allowed to say, that's good tonight and stuff like that, because this is about a recipe. I want you to have the recipe. Man, there's too many people that they die without the recipe. And it's that simple. I think it's people that love God, people that live honest lives, that are integrous, have character. But you know what? Man, the Bible is clear about a lack of knowledge. Is this resonating with you at all? Okay, so let's go to Genesis 8:22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Okay, so let's look at seed time and harvest. Now listen, in the Hebrew, which is what this is written in, this isn't a compound word. So instead of it being seed time and harvest, two elements, it's actually seed, time, and harvest. Okay, seed, time, and harvest. So the first one, let's deal with it, seed. Seed's real simple. I'm a simple man. This is simple enough for the smallest child to understand. I'm gonna lay it out simply. Is that okay with anybody? You want a complex theorem, a formula? I'm telling you, you're gonna have to go to like Jack Van Impey or something on TV. You're gonna have to find another place for this to work. Okay, now listen. So number one is seed. Luke 8:11. Now the parable is this. Okay, the parable of the sower, the parable of the soil. You guys all know it, right? There's four kinds of soil. There's soil, the seed is put, and it goes by the wayside, and the fowl of the air come and get it. It doesn't take root. The next one is the rocks. It's a rocky soil, and it can't take root. Man, the next one is thorny, and the thorns are the cares of this world, the pride of life, okay? And it hinders the seed from taking root. But the last one is good soil, fertile soil, okay? And it says, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. It's gotta fall on good soil. See, maybe, I think in the heading of your Bible, it probably says the parable of the sower, okay? I think a better byline for this is the parable of the soil. Because the sower is sowing the word, he's sowing the seed. But it's how, where the seed lands. You got unforgiveness in your heart? Man, you've got, if you receive, it even talks about that some will receive the word with joy, but not follow up on it. Man, I'm telling you, you have to follow up on what you hear. And please, listen, everything you hear in here, check it in the word. Make sure you back it up in the word. Don't take some guy's word for it. I know what I'm talking about. I've been doing this for almost 35 years. Man, trust in God, studying his word, okay? But let me just tell you, you have to know God's nature. You have to know God's heart. And also that the world's a fallen world. The world is broken. Man, and it's ruled by the prince and the power of the air, the elements of the world. That's why Romans 12:1-2 is so pivotal. Paul writes in Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the very mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, verse 2, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to this world. Now, let me tell you, I think that if you'd use a pie graph and you would have your mindset, the way you think, okay, and one color is how you believe in God and the mind of Christ, and then another part of it, which is another color, is the mindset of the world, the mindset of you get what you get, that you really don't have any control. Do you understand? Jesus said, all authority has been given me in heaven and earth. Therefore, go in my name. See, we have no control in and of ourselves. We only have control for our actions, for our thoughts. But let me tell you, our situation, man, when we use the name of Jesus, we have control. No matter how things look, no matter what the symptoms, no matter what the situation is, I'm telling you, and you might say, well, but the facts say this. You know, I agree, facts may say something bad. But guess what? And write this down. Facts change. The truth never changes. See, that's what's awesome about this. We're not relying on facts. And I think too many people do. We're relying on the truth. We're not relying on facts. Man, the facts are things look bad. The facts are you may not have enough. The truth is, man, God's given us a land to live in, and it's called more than enough. Man, which one? So whose report are you going to believe, the factual report or the truthful report? Okay? So Luke 8:15, is that in the notes? Luke 8:15, can we put that up? Okay? But the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word, now listen, with a noble and good heart. And here's the key now. The key is, and keep it. They bear fruit with patience. See, you might be in here and you might be saying, man, I'm receiving this word with a noble and good heart. Let me just tell you, once you break the threshold of this building, you got to keep it. And that's what matters. The Bible even talks about forgetful hearers. My gosh, we've heard so much. This isn't your first rodeo. Man, there's so much of God's word. But you know what the Bible says? You have to hide it. You have to hide it in your heart. Meaning, you know what? You got to put it in the very center of who you are. Man, you got to have it there. You got to keep it there. You got to guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it flows the very essence and issues of life. See, so that's where seed comes in. The seed is huge. If you're taking people's opinions and you're taking what God's word says and you're mixing them together, guess what? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Man, you got this container of wonderful water. You put a little bit of bitter in it, it bitters the whole pot. That's what the Bible says. I'm just telling you, you can't mix your faith with anything other than God's promise. Nobody's opinion. You can't have your attitude, your experience, none of that. Okay, is that clear? Because I'll stay on that until the cows come home. I got all night, I promise you. This message is already going to be about 2.5 hours, so we're here for the long haul. Number two, time. One seed, two's time. Time is where your faith comes in. Time is patience, and patience is pivotal. This is faith. And let me just help you. You guys say, well, I don't know if I have that kind of faith. Write in your notes Romans 12:3. Well, Romans 12:3 says that God, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Meaning, don't, like the way, you got it all figured out. Well, let me just tell you something. That ain't gonna do you any good at the end of the day. For all have been given the measure of faith. No, not given, the Bible says dealt. All have been dealt the measure of faith. All of us, let me tell you, we all have the same amount of muscles, all right? Mine are sore right now. Yours might be bigger. Yours might be strong. Brandon's bigger. He's stronger. Man, why? He's exercised those muscles. Mine are sore right now. Why? Because I just started exercising them again. Man, it's brutal. I mean, it's time to get up in the morning, and I'm like, no. And then I got to make myself, I got to man up, I got to be a warrior to get out of bed. Why? I've just started, man, the same thing's true. You got to exercise your faith just like you exercise your muscles. And you exercise your faith, the more you do it, the stronger it's going to be. Man, I'll tell you, the things that used to seem impossible, I'm like, they're easy now. Man, we're believing God for finances to come in for everything that we do here. We're believing God for finances to come in for our camp. We're believing God for finances for the Joyce Meyer outreach, the Friday groceries, June 6th. We're believing God for the motorcycle rally. We're believing God for the all this stuff. It's like, you know what? I barely give it. I don't have any kind of fret about any of it. I don't. I'm just telling you, money's easy. Money follows vision. That's why money is just provision. We can't have a love for money. It's just provision. Listen, to execute the vision God's given us. If you have a lack of money, you have a lack of vision. Man, what's this vision? Man, you think, are these God's hearts? You got to look at it through the nature of God, through the heart of God. You got to think about this. Man, is it God's heart? Is it God's heart for teenagers to go to camp and us to build? Yes. Is it God's heart for this building here? And you got, man, the buildings aren't important, really? I completely disagree. You know what this building needs to stand for? A move of God in people's lives. Man, people have to drive by and say, why is the parking lot full on Wednesday night? I didn't think churches had service on Wednesday night anymore. No, you know what? There's a move of God that's happening in your life right now. Man, this isn't a monument. This isn't a museum. All this is it houses the programs. Man, the programs that disciple and train up and win people lost, the people. And then to perform and live God's purpose. The greatest life known to mankind. But we've got to get to the place where we understand time and not time in a chronos or linear time, but the timing of God time. Seed, time, and then number three is harvest. See, but with this time, it's important to understand before we get to the harvest part is, but patience, time. See, it's not so much time linear, how many minutes. It's that when we're just patient. We know God's faithful. Isn't that right? God's faithful. Say it to yourself a few times. God's faithful. God's faithful. Man, think about your health. Think about your marriage. Think about your finances. Think about your future. God's faithful. Man, God's faithful. The work that he started me is faithful to complete. Man, God's faithful. But let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. This is how important faith in that time is. Because you bring faith into the time aspect, it brings patience. And patience is powerful. I'm just telling you. Man, patience is the only battle. Man, the seed part, the harvest part, man, what's sandwiched in the middle of that is that patient part. And what does it say? Patience have its what? Perfect work. Where you're what? Perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Say that with me. Perfect, complete, lacking nothing. One more time on your own. One more time, like you mean it. Come on. Man, think about your life. Man, all that you do, let me just tell you, if you don't have that perfect, complete, lacking nothing place in life, oh, it may not be a seed issue, may not be a harvest issue, it may be a patience issue. And patience is simply where you take the time aspect of it and you immerse it in trust and trust God. Man, it's just complete trust, just faithful. Man, it doesn't matter what's happened yesterday or last week or last year or to anybody else around. You can be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Which brings us to point number three, it's the harvest. In John, the fourth chapter and the 34th verse, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of he who sent me and to finish his work." Verse 35, "Don't you say there's still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look at the fields. They're already white unto harvest." Your fields are already white. I mean, you're believing God for something that's already ripened in the field God's given you. See, this isn't mystical. This isn't magic. Man, there's no fairy dust floating around in here. You know what this is? This is just God saying, look, man, I've set this all in play for you. Before the beginning of time, Jeff, God knew you before you were in your mother's womb, before the beginning of time. And you know what he did? He set everything. Now listen to this. This is going to be a word of God for you. He set everything in order in your life. Okay? Now what your six senses are going to pick up is chaos. Man, it's chaotic. I want to freak out. Man, I'm on the verge of freaking out about this. This is crazy. It's like, no. Is your spirit man freaking out right now? No, then you can't. If God starts freaking out, I'm telling you, we better head for the hills. But God's not. God is seated on his throne, the throne of his power. He is sitting on a throne of power right now over all the universe and every bit of creation. And you know what? The world is going to be chaotic, but the kingdom is going to bring order. We have to be kingdom-minded. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the order of God. You know what? The world's going to throw chaos into it. That wasn't in the plan. I didn't expect that. Does this make sense? See, understand, man, the world's going to be chaos. How is this going to work out? Because God loves you, and he's faithful to his promise. Has God promised you health? Has God promised you peace? Has God promised you joy? Golly. Has God promised you heaven? Huh. But listen to this. To none of us are we promised tomorrow. We just have to be stable and strong in today. See, most things you're worrying about, it's tomorrow. It's not the stuff about, you're not worried about me actually preaching 2.5 hours. No, God's got this handled. I'll be done here at 8 o'clock. Then we're gonna thunder up, I'm telling you right now. But the point here is the reason you wanna freak out is because of the chaos, right? But you know what? The kingdom brings order. The storm's raging. They're out on that boat. Jesus is asleep. They wake him up. He said, how long do I have to be with this perverse generation? And he said, peace, be still. And everything just stilled. And they said, who is this? What manner of man is this that even the wind obeys him? You know what? Listen, it's supernatural. We are men and women of order now. Things are in order. I don't freak out anymore. I'm gonna trust God. You know what? When everything's going crazy, and you know what you might say? Man, I've been freaking out. How long? I've been freaking out for like 30 seconds. Okay, too long. Stop it. Man, I'll give you a little period for you to catch up and remember, hey, listen, my life's in God's hands. And you know what does the Bible say can snatch you out of God's hands? Nada. How was that? Was that good for you guys? Seed plus time equals harvest. Okay? It's that simple. You have to bring the word in first. You have to be prepared to be patient. Is patience worth perfect, complete, lacking nothing? Is it? How many of you guys get frustrated? How many of you guys are good at it? How many of you guys need a class? Hey, for you guys that are weak in frustration, we need to help you with to go to high level frustration. Nobody would sign up for that class. You don't have to study. You'd be getting straight A's, okay? But listen, what you have to do is you have to put your flesh under. What you have to do is make your flesh submit to God's word, to God's promise, right, Corey? See, this is how this works. Man, we submit our life to God's promise. That's the seed, okay? So what are you standing on now? That area of your life that you're deficient in, that area of your life that you want to freak out about, that area of your life where it seems like it's chaotic, you have to find a promise. And you might say, well, my gosh, I don't know. I'm not mature enough. I don't know enough, okay? What James said, he said, look, it's easy. Find an elder in the church. Man, let him pray for you. Anoint you with oil because the prayer of faith will save the sick. Man, find somebody that has a maturity level and say, hey, listen, man, here, can you give me some scriptures I can stand on regarding my finances? And I'll say, okay, what part of your finances? I just want to get by. The Bible says all your needs met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. How about that? Is that a pretty good one? Yeah, my father, God's my father, he owns cattle on 1,000 hills. He is not lacking for anything. His arm isn't shortened. His power hasn't diminished. So it's seed, time, and harvest, okay? So here's how this works. God's word plus patience equals supernatural results. And it doesn't matter what area of your life you're dealing with. God's word plus trust plus faith equals supernatural. See, and here's what happens. The Bible refers to the route of our life as being the highway of holiness. How many of you guys have ever heard of that in the Word? That the highway of holiness, okay? Write that down and just go do some personal study on the highway of holiness. Because the highway of holiness is where God has given us to travel. And you know what cannot travel on the highway of holiness? Sin. So listen, on the highway of holiness, there's no separation from God. Because that's essentially what sin does, is it separates us from God. Okay? So now we're on that highway of holiness, and the Bible says this, that God will widen the path beneath our feet so they don't slip. And you'll think, oh my gosh, Shear, how have you served God for 34 years and 11 months? It's because God widens the path beneath my feet. I've given him plenty of opportunity for me to slide off the edge. It's not me, trust me. It's not, because otherwise you're dealing with your willpower. Uh-uh. The Bible says our flesh is weak. See, we can't let our flesh dominate us. We can't let our flesh rule us. So what do? Man, we get to a place in our lives where we realize I have to bring his promise into this situation. And I have to subject his promise, listen, to my circumstances. And then guess what? That God's promise will, what he'll do is he'll force his will on your, this is awesome. He'll force his will on your situation. So you take the word of faith, you take his promise, and you add faith and trust to it. You add patience to it. I'm not going anywhere, devil. I'm not gonna quit. Man, but God will lead us in triumph is what 2 Corinthians 2:14 says. And so God's word combined with our faith equals supernatural results. And I'm telling you, just people within arm's reach of me here, we could write volumes of books on reports of we're believing God and way more came in, way more happened. Things that we never even dreamt would open up and be there for us. I mean, it's just phenomenal because eye hasn't seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the great things that God has. If we just simply put him first, and that's the key. Put God first, put his word first, and just latch on to that. That's all faith is for me. I'm gonna latch on to that promise. I'm gonna lay hold of that which is laid hold of me. Man, I know God's a healer. I know God's a supplier. I know God's my provider. I know God's my shelter. I know God's my security. I know God's my protection. And you know what? I just call upon his protection. The Bible says this, if I submit myself to God and resist the devil's gotta flee. The Bible says when I put my trust in God, my enemies flee seven different directions. No weapon formed against you will prosper. How about that one? Man, there's so much in God's word that, man, just the taking the shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. And nothing will by any means harm you is what Jesus said. How much worry do you have about harm? What's gonna happen in the future? Man, what if our politicians or what if our government or what if the authorities on the earth, what if they make the wrong decisions or what if their agenda isn't my agenda if it's not on my behalf? No, you know what the Bible says? The heart of the king is in the hand of God. Nothing will by any means harm you. Don't look to the left or the right. Don't be seeking all kinds of counsel and advice. And no, you know what? You don't need a fortune teller. You know the author, the Word of Life. Just go to the Book of Life. Just go to the Word of Life. Lay hold of it. Trust God. Don't trust your watch. Don't trust an evil report. And there's just too many people. Man, I'm looking at Jeremy here. Just a few short years ago, a doctor told Nina she could never have children. They got two little girls now. Huh. They could have believed that bad report, or they could believe the report of the Lord. I'm just telling you. Man, when a noted scientist tells you you can't, it's Jesus going to that tomb that Lazarus was in and said, hey, Lazarus, come on, get out of there. Come on. He comes out wrapped in grave clothes. He began to stink. He'd been there for days. They cut it off him. He said, now go clean him up. Go feed him. They're like, who? First the wind and now this, my brother, Lazarus. Jesus loved him. Man, he's not going to leave you out. He's here for you right now. It's God's promise, your faith, your trust, supernatural results.
Thanks for listening to the Guts Church podcast. For more information on service times, please visit gutschurch.com.